Thank you, Sam, and good morning to all of you. Welcome back to many of you. Welcome back to the area from being out in Ohio. I hear some are still recovering. You'll get there, but it's a lot of fun, of course. For this message to start, I have some common sayings to repeat, some sayings that I'm sure most of us are quite familiar with. Some sayings to get us on topic for the message. First up, to thine own self be true. To thine own self be true. Next, follow your heart, your feelings, follow them. Three, you create your own reality. Four, life is about creating yourself. Life is about creating yourself. Five, truth is what you make it. Six, follow your dreams. Follow your dreams. Seven, God won't give or tempt you more than you can handle. And last, that I have anyway, you only live once. You only live once, or YOLO. As you were thinking about those, any that anybody would like to kind of add that fall in the same vein as those eight? Not that's okay, but if you do, please raise your hand. I'll wait. If you think about it later, it's not too late to raise your hand. Whatever it is, those eight or any others you might be thinking about or might think about here later as we go, I submit to you that there's a simple counter to all those, what I would say, worldly sayings. One simple word. Anyone want to take a guess what I might say? How about consequences? Could the counter just simply be consequences? What do you think? Consequences? Consequences, what are they? Simply defined by Merriam-Webster, it means that something is produced by a cause. So in short, cause and effect. Am I the only one here that learned about cause and effect in school? I don't think so. Right? Raise your hands. Anybody else? There's one. Oh, yeah. That's everybody, right? Cause and effect. So we understand how this works. It's a simple concept to grasp, cause and effect, but unfortunately people love to try to live outside of the reality of cause and effect, don't they? Many choose to believe possibilities that are just simply not possible. Sometimes we even all forget that from time to time, that cause and effect, it gets us. We can't escape reality. It's not possible to shape it to whatever we choose. We can't escape truth either. It's not possible to shape it to whatever we choose. We just simply live in a reality where there's cause and effect. We reap what we sow. Good or wise decisions in life brings good things. Bad or unwise decisions bring bad things. When we obey God, we receive blessings. When we disobey God, we receive cursings. Our decisions lead to either life or death. Again, in short, consequences. That's what the Bible teaches from beginning to end, based on how God has told us this world and our lives, they've all been laid out. We choose according to that already God created and defined structure that we all live in. That's just simply how it works. We can't change that, no matter how much anyone may try. So within this structure, we choose. We decide what our consequences will be. Attempting to opt out and create an alternate reality is a fool's errand. It's just not possible. It's a dead end. Attempting to do so will only bring about bad consequences. So for the remainder, we're going to talk some about these worldly sayings. We're going to counter them with the consequences the Bible plainly states will happen if we mistakenly live by those consequential sayings. So first up, back to that list again, to thine own self be true. To thy own self be true. We're going to open it back up again. When someone lives their life according to this saying, what are some of the negative consequences? Anybody want to raise their hand and provide some input? How about, yes, there would be some short-term pleasure, but ultimately a lot of heartache and a big understanding of what truth actually is. Anyone want to add to that? So flipping this saying around for a couple minutes, we could ask, are we the source of truth? And what is truth? Where does truth come from? If you want to turn to John 18, verses 37 and 38, we'll read this famous discussion between Jesus and Pilate. It's concerning truth. It's just prior to Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus says to Pilate in verse 37, John 18 and starting verse 37, he says, for this cause, oh, there's that word cause right off the bat. For this cause came I into the world that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate asks him, and notice his question carefully. What is truth? Jesus makes it plain, though, that he is the source of truth. In fact, he is truth. And earlier in the book, if you want to turn back a little bit to chapter 14 and verse 6, I'm just going to read it here real quickly. He states it even more plainly than what we just read when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So consequently, for Pilate, he also makes it plain when he says, what is truth? That to him, truth is whatever he chooses to make it. In a way, he kind of had the power for a while, but those consequences, they always get you. There's nothing new under the sun. The denial of absolute truth, which is the denial of Jesus, the denial of God, it's still there present in the world, and it will remain that way until Christ's return, unfortunately. We can choose to go that way if we want, but it's not real. And the negative consequences for doing so, they will be real. So instead of being true to yourself, be true to God. He is truth. Everything else but God and his teachings are simply all lies that are full of all sorts of painful consequences. And now number two, follow your heart, your feelings. Follow your heart, follow your feelings. When someone lives their life according to this saying, what are some of those consequences? Well, again, like the first one, there probably will be some short-term pleasure. But again, like the first one, there's going to be a lot of heartache, a lot of confusion as one tries to understand that heart of theirs and their feelings. Anyone want to add any more to that? We could flip this one around as well. I'll ask the question, should we follow ourselves, our heart? Is that who we should follow or what we should follow? We should follow those feelings? Or should we follow God instead? You want to turn to Jeremiah 17 and verses 9 and 10? We're going to talk about the heart, where the feelings come from. Jeremiah chapter 17 verses 9 and 10 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who knows it? Who can even understand it? And then verse 10, we read the answer to that question. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try it, even to give every man according to his ways. In other words, he means consequences. And according to the fruits of his doing, again, consequences. Consequences is what God says. He knows our heart. He says it's more deceitful, more desperately wicked, more than anything. I mean, that is what that scripture just said to us. And God knows it, even if we don't. Even if we're not self-aware of the fact. And as such, we shouldn't want to follow our heart or our feelings, nor what comes out of it. Rather, again, who should we follow instead? been counted about 21 times that Jesus said, follow me. Not our heart, not our feelings. Jesus said, follow me. One of those times, if you want to turn it to, is found in John 10 and verse 27. John 10 and verse 27. We're going to read about four verses here. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, the consequence of eternal life, and they shall never perish. There's another consequence. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. There's another consequence. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That consequence will not happen, he says. I and my Father are one. So, brethren, let's make sure to be of God's flock as his sheep and following him, not anything else. Number three, you create your own reality. You create your own reality. What about the consequences of that one? Anybody want to go ahead? I'll submit that, again, there's some short-term pleasure to be had here, but again, also a lot of heartache. It's a lot of confusion because as one might live their life expecting outcomes that just won't come, consequences that come are not the ones that person's going to want. So flipping this one around, do any one of us have the ability to change reality? Do we really? To make it what we want, to make it what we don't want, any way we want? Is that within our control? So if we do X, whatever X is, and then we get to decide what happens after we do X to create our own reality, do we get to do that? Is cause and effect no longer a thing because we can create reality since we have the power to do it? Do we decide the rules and not God? What does God have to say about that? If you want to start turning to Job chapter 38, verse 1. 38 and verse 1. God has a lot to say about that one. Job's a pretty long book. We're not going to read a whole lot of it, in case you're wondering, but we are going to skim through, read about eight verses here. Job chapter 8 and verse 1. The Lord answered Job. Job apparently needed to hear this one. Maybe he kind of misunderstood a little bit about reality. It seems that way. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens my counsel, my words, without knowledge? Gird up now your loins like a man, for I will demand of you, and you answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it, if you have that understanding. And he goes on for about two chapters. We're going to skip through that. Let's go to chapter 40, verse 1 again. He really lays it out to Job. And here he sums it up, chapter 40 and verse 1. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contends with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproves God, let him answer it. Then Job had this to say after listening to all that. Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. In other words, he realized he needed to close his mouth. So anyone who thinks they can control reality contends with God, and that's a losing battle. So I advise that no one try that one. Number four, life is about creating yourself. Life is about creating yourself. What about if someone lives by that one? What kind of consequences should they expect? Probably won't expect it, but what should they expect? Anyone want to suggest something? Go ahead, yes.
Not being, like, really the best person ever?
Yeah, not a good way to be, for sure. Again, a lot like the others, I'll submit there is some possible short-term pleasure, but again, a lot of heartache and a lot of confusion. Living life expecting outcomes that just won't come. Consequences that come are not the ones you want. So flipping this one around, let's ask the question. So we created ourselves and God didn't create us? He doesn't have a plan for us? He didn't give us some of his talents and he doesn't expect us to use them in service and glory to him? We can create ourselves instead? I mean, anyway, let's go to besides turning to Genesis, which we could go and read the explanation of how God created all things, let's go to a shorter version, John chapter 1 and starting in verse 1. John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. This sums it up a lot quicker for us. In the beginning was the Word. So here we are at the beginning, right? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And here where it talks about creation. In one short, quick verse, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Sums it up. Everything we see, everything that was made by God. Nothing was made by anyone else. Just that simple. We don't create ourselves. That's actually blasphemous. We only have the ability to choose what we will do and what we won't, and then the resulting consequences will follow. God does have a plan for us. It's an eternal plan. He encourages us. No, he implores us to choose life. Number 5. Truth is what you make it. Truth is what you make it. What about that one? Anyone want to provide some more input on what consequences can be expected from that one? It's much the same as a lot of these, short-term pleasure, a lot of heartache, and a lot of confusion. We can flip this one around and we can ask the question, so truth is moldable? It's not absolute? Truth is not absolute? We covered some of this one earlier when we read the scriptures about Jesus explaining that he is the truth, he is absolute. But this one can be a hard one. The very first sin, where Adam and Eve both ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, was an act of denying the truth that when they ate, they wouldn't die. They tried to make truth what they wanted. But by doing so, the very consequences that God said would happen, they happened. They died. Not immediately, but they did die nonetheless. They went from immortal to mortal when they ate, and they died. And that's the state of us all ever since, isn't it? So no matter how much we choose to be convinced of an untruth, it's still untrue, and the resulting negative consequences will follow. Number 6, follow your dreams. Follow your dreams. That one can be kind of tough sometimes. Follow your dreams. And I would say this one has some truth to it. I would. But I would say be careful. It's not wrong, of course, to have dreams, but we need to make sure they align with God's plan for us. They align with his ways. Consider that God gave us talents, and he expects us to use them. He's looking to collect on that investment in us. So for the sake of time, we won't turn there, but also because we covered talents a couple weeks ago. But we will reference some scripture that speaks of the plan that God has for us. If you want to turn to Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. You don't have to actually turn there. I'll just read it real quick. For we are his workmanship. In other words, that's God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Additionally, other verses, God explains that we are bought and paid for, that we are not our own. We are designed, shaped, and molded for good works unto God. So we need to make sure that whatever dreams we have and want to live out, that they align with God's plan for us and with the talents he's given us. And if we're unsure, just you want to make sure. Because if not, negative consequences will follow. So ask God. Go to God with that one. Number 7, God won't give us or allow us to be tempted with more than we can handle. I know a lot has been spoken about this one, but just something to consider here. If you leave God out of that equation when you walk that one out, it means a reliance on one's self instead of God, and results in a brokenness without God. So flipping that around, if true, then how would we learn to rely completely on God? If God didn't give us more than we can handle, how would we learn to rely on God? So he does give us trials, he does give us temptations, and part of that is for the purpose of learning to rely on God for the strength and ability and understanding to get through those and learn what we need to. We're not to try to do that on our own. Last, you only live once, or YOLO. YOLO. Anybody heard YOLO before? I know you guys have. Again, there's short-term pleasure and all that stuff that can happen, but let's flip this one around. I'm going to ask the simple question. Is it true that we only live once and then die once? Is that true? We only live once and die once? That's what the saying says. Let's go to Hebrews 9, verse 27, because it says otherwise. Hebrews chapter 9, and verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die. So there it says, you die once. Okay, so maybe that saying is true. Let's go next to Revelation 20 and verse 6. Revelation 20 and verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. Oh, wait, there's a resurrection. So you die, as we just read in Hebrews, and then you're resurrected. And then it continues, it says, on such the second death has no power. Right? It's not going to have any power on those in the first resurrection, for they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So no, you don't live once and die once. You live at least twice, and you don't want to die that second time. There is the first life, and then there is a second death, but we all want to be resurrected in the first resurrection, and we do not want to die that second death. Life is not lived without those consequences, all of those consequences. All 8 that we went through, and I'm sure you thought about a lot more than I did, and we could discuss it for quite a while, because the world throws a lot of those things at us all the time, doesn't it? But no matter what, we cannot escape the consequences based on the structure that God has set up, no matter how clever, deceitful sayings there may be. So in conclusion, if you want to turn with me to Deuteronomy 30 and starting at verse 19. Deuteronomy 30 and starting in verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day that I have set before you the consequence of life and the consequence of death, consequence of blessing and consequence of cursing. Therefore, choose the consequence of life, that both you and your seed may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cleave unto him, for he is your life and the length of your days. So, brethren, let's always make sure we're working to properly understand God's truth, the consequences as God has laid them out, and to always choose life.